السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله أدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده الذي قال عن نفسه أنا سيد ولد آدم ولا فخر آدم ومن دونه تحت لوائي. أنا سيد الأنبياء إذا اجتمعوا وخطيبهم إذا وفدوا ومبشرهم إذا أيسوا. وأنا أكرم ولد آدم على ربي. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد.
Do you have a jama'ah of sisters also in the masjid?
No. All right. Inshallah. My respected brothers and elders, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has guided us when the Yahud traveled to Yathrib. They did so awaiting the final prophet, foretold or prophesied in their previous scriptures. To their surprise, that prophet came, but that prophet was not from Bani Israel. They had reservations, they rejected him, they objected. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in consoling the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that verily Allah chooses whomsoever He wills. يَخْتَصُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. The fact that you are Muslim, yes, the effort is needed from our side, but it is a favor of Allah. The fact that we are sitting here today, it is at tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why if we look at the hikmah behind the combination of, among the Asma'ul Husna, the 99 names of Allah. There's one ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has presented the amana to the heavens and the mountains. فَأَبَيْنَا يَحْمِلْنَهَا. They declined. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that insan took that amana and he is what? ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Then they explain that he is Dhuluman Jahula. And if you look at the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll hear saying that he is Ghafur and Ar-Rahim. This that verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the entire creation making tasbih, but we do not understand, we do not comprehend the tasbih. We only, the scientists maybe have, interpreted them as just some sound waves. We only see, haraka, only movement from these creations. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you are ignorant of that, of the tasbih they make. Allah is Haliman Ghafura. Now, this, iqtiran, the combination of these words, the ulama explain that why is Allah saying that He's forgiving? He's forgiving us for the ignorance. We do not know that they are making the tasbih, and for not engaging in the tasbih. So, my point is that nothing in this world, happens haphazardly. Wallahi, take it as a great favor of Allah that we were able, there were so many people, there are so many people who wished, to sit in such, majma's and listen to, qala Allah, qala Rasul. Al-Muhim, that was not the subject. Just wanted to bring that to your attention, that there are so many ni'am of Allah which we are not aware of. Take this as tawfiq from Allah and make shukr of that, and Allah will increase you in that, inshallah. My brothers and elders, I'm going to relate to you a famous story or a parable. Let me just say a parable. Most of you have heard this parable, but it is said that ash-shay'u idha takarrar taqarrara fil qalb. When a thing is repeatedly said or repeatedly done, it stays in the heart. So those who have heard this story should not get bored, but perhaps you'll pay attention to a few lessons, inshallah, or derive a few lessons from this story. And the more you hear it, perhaps it might have that effect. حتى يتقرر في قلبكم أو في قلوبكم. They say that there were four cows, one of which was black, the other three, one of which was white, the other three were black. They were in the wilderness, surrounded by wild beasts. But they stuck together for some time, and the wolves could not get access to these cows until a mashura took place, and one was excluded in that mashura. Maybe in this bit or in this piece of story, you've already picked up something. A mashura, a meeting took place, and one was excluded. They had a discussion that when it is dark at night, we are black in color, the wolf cannot spot us. We think it is because of this white cow that the wolves can spot us. So day and night, we have to be, vigilant. We don't get time to rest. You know what? When the time comes, we will stand one side, and the wolf will just, feed itself with the white cow. That day came, or that night came, the wolf attacked the white cow. But It is so intelligent that it detected that disunity from these cows. So it knew that from that day onwards, it was going to become a very easy thing for it to catch these cows. Because now there are one cow less. The second day came, the first black cow. The second black cow was devoured. On the last day, it was one cow left. The wolf did not make now so much effort or the same effort it made in pursuing them when they were together. It was an easier thing for it. And as it was pursuing it, it pursued it with confidence, with no element of doubt in it that I'm going to catch it, because there's no support at all. When it caught it, you know that predators, besides the hyenas, you know the hyena before it eats its prey, it starts by eating it while it's still alive until it wears out, and then it kills it. That's how it dies. But we know that predators, you know, they grab the throat, and that's how they take the life of their prey. Since the parable, they say that this cow said its last words. And it said, "Ukiltu yawma ukila thawrul abyad." I got eaten the day that white cow got eaten. I did not die today. I signed my persecution letter the day I stood one side, watched as the wolf was devouring and cutting the white cow into pieces. I'll take you to the first lesson of this story. This story is a clear representation of the condition of the Ummah today. The Ummah has lost its identity. Because when some of us came to Islam, we dragged along some of our practices, customs. We brought them along in Islam. When I was still serving as an imam in Soweto, we had a big problem of people who would come into the fold of Islam. And I do not mean to digress. I'll take you back to the maqsad of today's talk. But we had a problem of people who come into Islam and they would not accept Islam wholeheartedly. That's why the ulama would always say that when a person accepts Islam, we must make mutaba, follow-ups on that person. We would see people wearing animal skins on their wrists. You have seen them. In case of end, it's rife. You as a Muslim still practicing that means that you are ignorant of your identity. We need to remember one thing, my brothers and elders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the maqsad of making us different. لِتَعَارَفُوا, so that we may recognize one another. But when you come to the fold of Islam, you need to develop an Islamic identity. Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatun wahida. This ummah is one ummah. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Come into the fold of Islam wholeheartedly. And this is what I identified in these people. That they would be Muslims, but they came with faults which were not, the faults which were not, revealed. Because they had not been put to test. But these faults would show up when these people are in test. When he's in problems, when he's in trouble, you'd see the person now going to consult. Bones are cast on the ground and he offers sacrifices to the ancestors and saying that hisigolami. So this thing is one of the things that has, you know, caused the ummah to be weak. We have this, nation state. We need to correct this in our minds, my brothers and elders. When I heard this, it was a breathtaking, statement that I heard from one scholar. And for some time, we were not aware of this. And I'd like to make you aware of this. He said, the Muslim needs to reach to that stage where myself, as I'm from the Tsonga tribe, one of the tribes from the north, we're from Limpopo. But since I became a Muslim, I need to see myself as a brother to a Malay brother, to an Indian brother, to a Pakistani brother, because we are all Muslims. We are one ummah. So he said that, and I think he was addressing, an Asian majma. He said that an African man who's a Muslim is your brother, while a Hindu Pakistan or Hindu India, or a Hindu from India is not your brother. So this crisis, the loss of identity is one of the causes of the destruction of this ummah. Because the a'da of Allah, the a'da of deen, the enemies of deen, yartahun, they are now relaxed because they also, they detected that disunity among us. There are so many things that cause us to disunite. We differ in so many things where we should put our hands, where should the, hands reach when one making takbir. Just because we differ in that, we become enemies. And now when one of us get attacked, we are not there to help or assist the brother because he's not aprawala. Iti abantu pela. I've heard this statement. Iti abantu pela. It means that we are the only human beings in Zulu. They say iti abantu pela. You know when they'll be demonstrating in that Zulu dance, and he'll be hitting hard with his foot on the ground, and taking pride in his tribe, he'll say iti abantu. We are the only human beings. That is not needed in Islam. Wala tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan. Do not follow the footsteps of shaytan. So come into the fold of Islam wholeheartedly. One scholar said that if you want to destroy a nation, you need to sever their roots. You want to destroy a nation, you must sever their roots. Our roots are uprooted in Islam. And the example Allah made of the ummah of Islam, or the kalimatu tayyiba, it is like a fruitful tree. Asluha thabitun wa far'uha fis samaa. The roots of which are firm in the ground. Wa far'uha fis samaa. The branches are high in the sky. Tu'ti ukulaha kulla hinin. That it provides its fruits from all directions. This is the example of the Muslim ummah. How the Muslim ummah should be. Wa mathalu kalimatin khabitha. And as for the example or the analogy of a falsehood, is like that tree that has been uprooted. So we do not fit in there. But today the roots of the Muslims have been uprooted because we are taking pride in our nation state. I come from this country. I come from there, and I think that the person is better than I'm better than that person. So the a'da will detect this unity, and that's how they will attack us. Let us look at the ummah. When Palestine was taken, what did the ummah do? I don't want to take some countries' names, but we know that there are some neighboring countries which are so wealthy and have all the powers to protect their Muslim brothers. But they took them as a nation who's not their own. Then what happened? The same way the white cow was eaten, it followed now. It became, the chain now. Then it was Al-Iraq. It was Libya. It was recently, the Muslims in Rohingya, in Assyria, in Somalia, Now, name them. My maqsad is not to relate the incidents. We'll spend the whole night if we have to tell you what is happening to the ummah today. But what is the ummah doing? We are sitting and doing nothing. Don't we think that our turn will come? Leminyeza naguwe, this the term in Zulu, leminyeza naguwe. What is happening to me will also happen to you. Since you are sitting and doing nothing. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made another mathal that the ummah is like al-jasadul wahid. The ummah, the Muslim ummah is like one body. إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُضُّ تَدَعَى سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالسَّهْرِ وَالْحُمَّةِ. That the analogy of the Muslim ummah is like that of one body. When one part of the body gets an infection, the whole body reacts with fever and sleeplessness. When your finger is paining, you cannot sleep. You'll be perspirating at night because of that one part of your body. You will not feel the effect unless if that part of the body is numb. Or you are not part of the body at all. Then you will not feel the pain. What is happening today with the Muslims in China? It should concern you as if it is happening in your own household. Imagine your own son being subjected to such tortures. That man is holding or carrying the kalima, La ilaha illallah, in him. You should have the same worry, fikr, and concern as if it is happening with you. Otherwise, like I said, it is either you are not part of the body or you are that part of the body that has become numb. Let us look at how the Muslims were. You know, the Shair says, Jis dor pe naz aati dunia, hum ap wo zamana bhul gaye. Jis dor pe naz aati dunia, hum ap wo zamana bhul gaye. Dunia ki kahani yaad rahi aur apna fasana bhul gaye. That era which the ummah used to take pride in, we have forgotten that era. When the ummah had so much izzah, I'll relate to you one story, inshallah, I have a few minutes. During the time of Harun al-Rashid, in Amuria, which was also part of the Islamic State, this Roman army were also torturing the Muslims. And I'm cutting the story very short. So one of the army of the Roman army, he caught a Muslim woman and asked her, Auntie Muslima, are you Muslim? She said, yes. He put her on the ground and he stepped on her head. And you know what she said? In fact, it was not the time of Harun al-Rashid Maaf, it was the time of Mu'tasim. She said, Wa Mu'tasima. This man, he was so arrogant, and he said to her, you are in Amuria, which is in Turkey, and your Khalifa is there in Baghdad. How will he come to your rescue? Will he come riding? You know, he even described the horse that he'll be riding on. That will he come to your rescue riding on a black horse that has a white mark on the neck? The woman said, he will come, but there was a Muslim who was watching or who witnessed that. That Muslim was from Baghdad. Later, after some time, he went and related this incident to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Like I said, that I'm cutting it short. He said to him, and I'll conclude with this, I have a minute, I can see. He said to him that this is what happened with a Muslim woman, and she called your name and she said, Wa Mu'tasima, and this is what the man from the army said to her. He stood up and he said, Asami'ta hadha wa shahidta hadha. Did you hear this and you saw this? And he said, yes. It is said that the faqama ala surafat, surafat in Arabic means the high places. So he went to the corners of the palace And from one corner to another, he said loudly, أَيَّتُهَا الْمَرْأَةُ الْمُسْلِمَةُ إِنِّي أُشْهِدُ اللَّهُ أَنِّي قَدْ سَمِعْتُ النِّدَاءُ لَبَّيْكَ. He said, oh, you Muslim woman, I make Allah a witness that I heard your cry. It has reached my ears. فَجَمَعَ جَيْشَهُ. He gathered his army and he said that they must show him where is Amuria. فَأَشَارُوا إِلَيْهِ. They showed him where Amuria is. And he took the same horse, the description of which was given by this arrogant man from the army. And he went riding on that horse. They left the hot climate of Baghdad into the cold climate of Amuria. And they surrounded the fortress. It was surrounded by fortresses. And some people made mashura and said, you know what, we will wait for them until spring comes. They'll come to harvest. You know, they had al-inab wa-teen. They have grapes and figs, you know, outside their fortresses. So somebody said, no, let's just go. While they're not expecting us, if we wait for them, it will take long. Then they gained access into the palace. And it is said that Mu'tasim billah qatala 90,000. And he killed 90,000 of them because of one woman. And the shair says, As-sayfu asdaqu anba'an min al-kutubi fi haddihi al-haddu fi haddihi al-haddu bayn al-jaddi wal-la'ibi 90,000 nadijat juluduhunna qabla nuduj al-tin wal-inabi. That sword it sent a message that was clearer than the speech. Fi haddihi al-haddu, it had the ability of separating seriousness and mockery, because they were making mockery of this woman. And the result of that was that the army, 90,000, nadija juluduhum, nadija in Arabic, it means to get ripe. Qabla nuduj al-tin wal-inabi, their skins got ripe before the grapes and the figs got ripe. This is the response the Muslims will give. Look at the distance. Look at the climate. He did not look at that. What we can do today, I'm not encouraging you to go and fight, but if you can, alhamdulillah. But what we can do, at least, I've never seen Muslims maybe marching maybe to some embassy, signing some petitions, boycotting this a'da of Allah. This is at least what we can do. Al-ilha wa fi dua. Consistency in our du'as. We only come on Jummah and make du'a. Whenever we hear the imam mentioning Palestine, the whole majma says, Ameen, Ameen, tomorrow we have forgotten. Then we will be busy with our Facebooks, our WhatsApps, and all these things. Al-ina'u yatarashahu bima fihi, al-ina'u yamdahu bima fihi. Every utensil will reveal what is in it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq, inshallah. Naam, to aid the Muslim ummah and for us to develop that ummah identity of one ummah, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Maaf, I've taken a few minutes of your time, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Akhdawan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.